Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This is the ride that you sign up for when your team is in the playoffs. You just don't know how it's going to go. And listen, I'm not going to sit here in front and say that, oh yeah, I really thought the Yankees were going to come back. Even though when Toronto started to kick the ball around a little bit and the Yankees put up two, I'm like, okay, there's a ray of light. But then you still need some bullpen arms, one of whom basically never pitches, in Duvall and Cruz, who I like more than others. There was just so many checkpoints that were going to happen for the Yankees to get off the mat. And I'm sitting there, for the most part, without full resignation that the season was over. I'm just telling you exactly what I was thinking. I never officially tapped out, like some, but I was sitting there saying, wow, I'm going to, along with Sal, we're going to sit here and we're going to preside over a funeral today, like a Yankee funeral. And it would have been a different kind of funeral. Like, we have funerals for our teams every year because our teams never win. But this would have been a painful one and an ugly one, and it would have been a very deep conversation with Boone and others. Now, this doesn't mean that the series is, the Yanks are getting to the championship.
No, it's over. You know why it's over?
Why?
Because the Blue Jays suck. The Blue Jays confirmed everything that I felt all year long last night in one game. Like, that was as predictable as it goes. Rodon got smacked around, predictable. Yankees bats pounced on the Blue Jays, predictable. Blue Jays soiling themselves, predictable. Kicking the ball all over the place. Like, the Blue Jays, hey, where's Buck Martinez at? I watched two teams play last night. You know which one coughed it away because they couldn't catch the ball? The Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are DOA, dead on. It's over. I don't care who pitches in game five. They stink. Paper Tigers. That's what they were all year long. Paper Tigers. They had a 6-1 lead. You got to put that game away.
You have to bury the Yankees. They didn't, and they will probably live to forever lament this if the Yankees keep going here. And I feel good about tonight. Game five, I'm not feeling as good about. So we'll worry about game five if there is a game five. But let's not forget, the Yankees also played very sloppily last night. Ben Rice early in the game, the indecision. Rodon a little late to the bag. Listen, I got to own it. You were right. Others were right.
Oh, he stinks, Rodon.
He's had a very good year. He was awful last night. He had no fastball. He was 92-93, had no command, got rocked, awful. I was wrong on that.
He did get squeezed, and like the batter before.
Yeah, but I don't even care about that. Everybody gets squeezed. Yeah, he didn't have it last night.
But it is important because of him. He gets squeezed on a pitch that probably should have been a strike three, and then you face Vlad with nobody on. It changed the entire trajectory there of that inning and eventually the game. But when Rodon gets squeezed, and you could see it. Watch the game. He's frustrated. You see it in his face. Like, where was that one? Where was that one? And then he lets that get to him, gives up a two-run bomb to Guerrero. He got squeezed on another pitch. He let that get to him, and he melts. That's what Carlos Rodon does. So I don't want to see the bigger the spot, the worse that he is. How could you ever trust him? He had a terrific regular season, and he was terrible again last night. Like, the days of trusting Carlos Rodon are over. He might have a good start in the postseason eventually in the next round when the Yankees get there.
Yeah.
You can't trust that he will because he does that too often.
Listen, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. He was a pitcher with really good stuff when he came here. And he was a mess year one, and better in year two. We've talked about this, so there's so many other things. Again, granted, Rodon was awful, and I really thought that he was going to give the Yankees a chance to win. Instead, he basically buried them. They just didn't kick the last grain of soil on the Yankees' grave, and that's on the Blue Jays, not on us here. So he was terrible. But also, again, like the Ben Rice play at first base, he was late to cover. Ben Rice was indecisive. Obviously, Bellinger's been a beast in the outfield with the leather this year. He mistimed it, but he missed that. And then the optic of Jazz Chisholm, almost like Nobby years ago, blowing the bubble at first base when they threw it down the line. line. Remember when Nobby was just pointing? Yeah. It wasn't quite that bad because Jazz didn't wait as long as Nobby did. But God, here you have Vlad Guerrero trucking around third base with a Mark Spitz dive into the swimming pool safe, and then he's yawning a play later. However, what does it mean now? It means nothing. All I'm saying is
Jazz. I mean, that's...
but that's why, like, when you say, you know, the Jays soiled themselves, there's no doubt that they did. There were still moments last night, even in the finale, and I'm not trying to throw cold water on an epic, awesome, amazing night and comeback and moment for Judge. That Judge at bat and that Judge home run was insane, but there were still things that worried me about last night. They used basically every bullpen arm, and you live to fight another day, and let's go with Split.
My issue would be that the Blue Jays just don't have enough pitching, and you saw that, and you mentioned the Judge at bat. Like, that was also as predictable as anything else, which I don't understand why Schneider, who's been one of the managers who would walk Judge.
He walked him again last night.
Yeah, too little, too late, knucklehead. Like, after the fact, there's a base open. Why in the world would you bring in a guy who Judge's faced five times and has hit two home runs off of in that spot? And you're pitching to him. It makes no sense.
Thank you. We needed it.
You had them dead. They were dead to rights. You can't catch the ball. And then you're saying, now let's pitch the Judge here with a base open, bringing a guy who's hit two home runs off of.
Yeah.
Good for Judge. He hammered a ball. And I don't want to hear where it was, in the strike zone, out of the strike. That's what Aaron Judge does. You knew it was a matter of time before he broke through. Schneider, then he's going to walk him the next time. Yeah, it's too little, too late. Come on, get with it. The Blue Jays are toast. I've seen, they're dead. They're a dead team walking. Good for the Yankees. They didn't get down when they were down 6-1. Kept chipping away. You knew it was a matter of time before the offense came back, and they did. Toronto doesn't have enough pitching to stifle the Yankees. Your Savage or whatever is the only hope. And we're not sure how they're going to line up their pitching. There was some thought that maybe he'd get in the game today. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't Gosman think so either. But Smoltz kind of said that. That's not happening.
Heyman reported before, Varland is starting tonight.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a bullpen game against... It's a bullpen that can't do anything against the Yankee lineup that now is getting hot at home. So it's going to come down to a game five. Blue Jays are going to be tight. And I just don't think they have enough. The same way I felt coming in, the same way I didn't really believe that the series was over yesterday... That's exactly where I stand right now, and I think even more so it's over in favor of the Yankees because of the way that game went, where the Blue Jays had them dead to rights and couldn't put them away, and now I think the Yankees are going to roll.
They felt like they got tight, there's no doubt. And that's why I was saying, like, I remember you and I were talking about what could happen. And again, I thought Rodon would do well. I thought the Yankee bats would wake up, and they did. But I remember saying that I almost think it might be more advantageous if the Yankees win a tight one. Like, rather than 9-1 and they just smack them. Because to me, there's something to be said for the opposing team. We saw this with Boston, Durant over in left field, not getting the bunt down. Other times where the Red Sox, like, the game sped up, and I think they kind of felt the gravity, the heaviness of October in the Bronx. And if the Yankees would have just smoked them, but it was kind of, you know, fairly benign emotionally for Toronto. I think Toronto goes into tonight saying, all right, we had a rough game. We punked them twice in Toronto. We're good. Let's go. This, even though Schlittler's nasty, he's a rookie. We'll find our way. Vladdy's red hot. Let's go. Now I think they step on the field tonight where, like, ooh, things got away from us. We dropped the pop-up down the left field line. That 1,000 out of 1,000 times, the left fielder, if you're 10 years old, the left fielder's got to call off the shortstop, third baseman. Now, the wind took it at the end, to be fair, but that was a miscue. IKF, I don't know what the hell happened at second base there.
Yeah.
So they've got to be tight now.
Santander in right field.
The ball didn't even touch his mitt.
I mean, come on, dude. Come on. That was embarrassing there by the Blue Jays. But yes, to your point, the way that game went, because if you're Toronto and you get up 6-1 tonight, how do you feel good?
No, you don't. You start thinking things.
You don't feel, exactly. You don't feel good at all. They had the Yankees in the best position that they could possibly have them to put them away, and they couldn't do it. So why would anybody think that they're going to be able to put them away? I would not. And as for Judge, you know, we talked about this yesterday, how he needed to come through and how his legacy is going to be on the line here. Now, we, or at least I can speak for myself here, like, I've never doubted, I know you too, that's why I say we, doubted his ability in the clutch. That, it's not like, oh, he can't handle the moment, he can't be clutch. He's already had clutch moments before, whether it be in the postseason a year ago, whether it be in the regular season. That narrative, it was foolish to begin with, and now it's officially dead. However, one big home run for Judge is not what everybody's looking for. Aaron Judge needs to continue this torrid postseason that he's been on here through the first two series through the remainder of the playoffs, resulting in a World Series win. Doesn't mean he can't have a bad game or two, or even a bad series, but this is the type of performance that we've expected from Judge from a long time throughout a playoffs, and you're getting it now on the highest of levels.
Yeah, I listen, I'm totally with you here. This was a moment, you know, that we'll never forget, but you got to finish the job. I mean, the job's not even halfway done here.
Right.
So, like, let's say the Yankees win tonight and Judge is fairly inconsequential to the outcome here, right? But then he has a good moment in Game 5 if the Yankees win. Well, that's fine. But if he leaves, and I don't think he will, but if he leaves 3, 4, 5 guys on base tonight, Yankees lose a tight one. Not that it erases the moment where we went absolutely bonkers last night. But the punctuation, it's not felt the way it will be if the Yankees go on to win and do big things. That's the way it works.
But the one thing that should definitively be over, if there was anybody that said he can't perform in the clutch, that is, like, that's no more. I don't care if he goes 0 for 5 tonight and leaves, you know, a small village on the base path. Not going to be able to get it done every time. That's how, I mean, even as great as he is, can't do it every time. That's a moment right there. And he's had a couple of those. The one last year against Cleveland.
No question.
It was the same thing. The one against Crochet earlier this year. You're thinking, okay, big boy, here you are in a spot to tie the game. Big spot, pressure on. What are you going to do? And he's done it. So he's done this multiple times. It is clearly, whatever issues he has had in the postseason is not because he's not clutch or can't handle the moment. I think it's more that he's either trying a little bit harder than maybe normal and that he's set such a high standard that it's near impossible to live up to what he's done in the regular season in a short series in the postseason.
And Sal, by the way, it wasn't just the bat. I mean, diving out in right field.
100%.
He's played a really good right field.
Well, it would have been a game-changing base hit if that ball gets there.
As soon as that was hit, I'm like, God. And that's a tough
take the lead.
That's no doubt. I mean, that's going toward the line. That's going away from him. Now you've got the glove on the left hand, so you could dive toward the line. But still, a very tough play. And I think some people are saying, even on the bases, like, oh, dude, what are you doing? First of all, when he got hung up in the play, and then Bellinger was able to go to third base, when he got hung up in the rundown. Now, by the way, Ben Wright should
bungle that too. I thought
the Blue Jays did.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Running back to third base, Kirk stopped running back to third, and then throw at the last second.
Yeah, they could have turned two actually if Vladdy was really on top of it. But I thought Wells should have been on second, whatever, nitpicking there. But even Judge, now that's a contact play. Balls hit, you go. I think there's some people who just, quite frankly, don't know baseball who were sitting there saying, "Dude, what the hell are you doing, Aaron? Your head's in space. How are you getting picked?" Well, that's the play. And by doing what he did, Bellinger got to third base, and obviously it worked out. We'll get the calls right now, but I got to tell you this. Just, you don't get moments like this all the time. And, you know, Boone against the Red Sox, even though they didn't win the World Series. Bucky, for those who are even older than I am, I didn't see it. Obviously, Mr. November with Jeter. You know, Tino, Grand Slam, Brocious, big home runs. There's A-Rod. There's been a million. Yep.
That one, to me, could be the same. Remember, you know, Braves are dominating that series. Lyric hits that home run off of Wohlers, obviously changed everything at that point.
Oh, my God almighty. That is, in terms of impact,
the Braves are dead.
It's right there. But in terms of my personal favorite home runs ever as a Yankee fan, it's number two. I'm not saying it's the most impactful. Mattingly, number one, 95. Hold on to the roof! To right center against Seattle and last night. Because, you know, it's one thing to have a great moment and a big, and again, there's more baseball to go, I get that. But right now, the immediacy of the home run today, for a guy who does everything right and plays his ass off and is an all-timer and gets slings and arrows from people who just don't appreciate how hard it is to do what he does, it's right behind Donnie Baseball.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Vinny's calling from Long Island. What's up, Vin?
What's going on, boys? Big game last night.
Let's go, Vin.
Listen, a couple of quick points and then a quick question. So, obviously, the coaching last night, I thought Boone definitely did a much better job. He totally outclassed what's-his-name last night. We got pretty lucky with losing those two challenges early. Well, thankfully, it didn't come back to bite us in the ass later on.
True.
But good job with Boone.
That is a bad job by Boone and the Yankee staff with both those challenges. You can't do that early on.
I agree. In regards to Judge, fantastic game. Unbelievable. I mean, besides the home run, the single, the double, the RBI. Let me tell you, I don't know if you picked up on this, but let me get to my next point.
The double is just as big as the home run, by the way. I know the home run tied it. The double is huge.
But I have a hypothetical after I have my quick Judge thing. Judge came out there, and when you see that dugout camera, he looked back a second time, and I took that as, now get off my effing back about this, that he's going to play that much looser now, which I think is going to be awesome.
I got to tell you, error on the draft.
Thank you for the call,
man. Good call.
Oh, good. The way he looked into the camera, 100%.
No doubt.
And even addressed it in the post game, saying that, oh, people getting on me for swinging out of the zone or whatever it may be.
He knows,
so
man.
He knows what's going on. I love that look. I know some people getting on him for it. Good for Judge. Look into the camera and then turn him back again like, don't mess with me, bro. I'm the man, and he is the man on the team to beat, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe not in baseball, but certainly in the American League.
There was no other way to read that. I mean, first, and he always does that, and then the second look was like, okay, I kind of hear what you're saying. This one's for you, haters. Suck
yeah,
it.
Right.
That was his classy way of saying, hey, listen, I mean, you guys got to understand. Oh, what a horrendous move. These nights are so... What time did you go to bed last night? What time did you actually fall asleep? Oh, thank you. My bad.
I couldn't take it anymore.
The
game was so brutal. I went to sleep before the top of the ninth inning.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore. That's I knew tough. The Blue Jays were dead in the water. I saw Williams pitch well. I saw Ben Arkham
well.
Get out of the jam.
Yep.
9-6 was the score when I went to bed. Obviously, it stayed that way, but I went to bed in the ninth.
Let me ask you this, though.
What time was it, 11:30?
Just about.
Yeah,
oh, okay. For sure.
That's the time the game actually ended?
Yeah, right around there. So the second challenge, first one was idiotic. There was no chance that you were going to have that.
The second one was on the hand?
Now it's about the intent. It's about, I'm okay with challenging the second one, and I get it. Listen, when you push back and say, you have to at least have one in your back pocket. If you don't get this right, well, then you're 0 for 2 and you lose them all. So I appreciate the pushback, but it was so blatant. How in the world did they get that wrong when they reviewed that?
Yeah, I mean,
it hit the glove.
I did not think it was as blatant as everybody else thought.
Did it hit the glove?
Well, also, didn't they say that the rule was...
The intent.
Yeah, he was not intending to swing.
And that's where it gets, obviously, okay, interpreted. So you think from that point, there's no doubt Boone's got to lay out.
Well,
because it's number two.
I just don't think that either of those challenges are worth challenging early on in the game.
Yeah.
Where you're talking about, you could see that the ball hit the hand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But was it that close to... Was it that important to take a chance on challenging? I'd rather have challenged the Wells play. Obviously, they didn't have a challenge where he slid into second base.
Did you think he was safe right there? I still couldn't tell. Huh? You thought he was safe right there?
In real time, I thought he was safe. But then watching the replay, I thought he would have been out.
Yeah.
But either way, that to me is a play more worth challenging than the other two fringe plays at best there where you're looking at it.
Jeez.
Yeah, no, coffee spill here.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so you can't... Bottom line is, I don't care what the result is, you can't burn two timeouts two challenges like that that early in the game on plays that aren't going to make or break the game. You can't waste them that point. It was a third inning or whatever it was.
I was early in the game here, so, I mean, I'll tell you what, and when Cruz came in, right, now, I love the guy, right, and I like him more than most, and I think his splitter's nasty, and he's got good stuff, and I love his story, 34, bounced around Mexico, just a tough route to get here. I respect that, right? But not only that, I think he was the perfect guy to put in at that point, even though he's never come in that early as a Yankee, because he's the one guy that's going to emit some emotion on the mound. And, I can't connect the dots on what that meant for the fans or how that correlated to the Yankees waking up and getting some runs and winning the game. But I think the emotion of Cruz at least gave the stadium a little bit of a chance to get some life back. It was so quiet when they were getting drilled.
Tony is in the Bronx. What's up, Tony?
Understandably. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, BT?
What's up? Good.
Listen, the great game last night. Can't say that enough. You guys are touching on all the key points. I love it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Tonight, if Schlitter gets in trouble, when do you pull him? Do you give him a short leash or long leash? I want you to touch on that. And also, with Vladimir Guerrero, you can't let this guy beat you because he's Big Papi reincarnated.
Oh, he's
different matchup, though, tonight.
He's frightening.
Different matchup tonight.
You walk him.
No. I'm not walking him. I'm going after him tonight if I'm sure.
No. Sal, you're wrong. You can't let this guy beat you. You can't let him beat you, Sal.
What are you going to do? Anyway, walk him in every time he comes up in every situation?
So what? They did it with Bonds. He walked in with the bases loaded.
That's true. He's not Bonds.
I'm asking you, what would you do? You're just gonna, what would you do? Walk him every time, no matter what the situation is?
You pitch to him, no one's on base, you pitch to the man.
Okay.
What
about one guy on?
Depending on the circumstances, Sal, you walk him. You do not let this guy beat you.
Well, but Tony, hold on a sec. Tony, I get it, and thanks for the call, but you're almost contradicting because you're saying you called up, said you can't pitch to him, walking no matter what. And then you say it depends on the situation, which is what I subscribe to. Yeah. There's no way I'm going to sit here at 10:20 in the morning and say, no matter what, you know, two on, nobody out, bases loaded, two out. I've got to see how many runs the Yankees have, where the Jays are. I have to see that. But I think the better question is, and that was the first one, about the leash that you give Schlittler. Here's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see Warren. I want to see Heal. I want to see Weaver. All right, so forget about those three guys. Don't trust them at all. So to me, my answer would be a lot longer than some people probably think because of the dearth of options.
100%, and I think that's part of what went into Boone's thinking last night. I know he had no chance with Carlos Rodon, but also going through the rest of the arms in the bullpen. You got to survive in advance. We understand that, but part of his thinking had to have been, well, I got Cam going tomorrow, and I'm going to ride the beast. And that's back to the Guerrero point just for a second. Like, Cam Schlittler is a different matchup versus Vladimir Guerrero than Fried or certainly Carlos Rodon. Vladdy's been a Yankee killer. We get it. And I'm not letting him beat me in a key spot either. However, I am letting Schlittler go to work and try to attack Vlad with his power from the right side. Like, that's a big difference. You know, Schlittler I'm talking about, mm-hmm. with his power from the right side, righty on righty in that particular case. But I do think Cam is going to get pushed. I think you're minimum talking about 5-6 innings. Minimum 6 innings tonight probably from Cam Schlittler. How else do you survive? You can't have it again where you get to go to the bullpen early on.
No, because, I mean, Cruz and Devin and Bednar stretched out a little bit, yes, and obviously, again, Warren, Heal, Weaver, and just not options.
Williams, Bednar again tonight, some combination of
100%.
At least 2 innings, maybe
3. I was going to say maybe even 7 outs for those 2 combined.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So at least 2 innings, probably more.
Yep.
So
Hill?
The idea would be to have one more guy bring Schlittler to one guy to get you to Williams and Bednar, and that's it.
Maybe Hill. I know he looks a little goofy out there, but he generally does a decent job. And you know, listen, maybe, I don't know. I was going to ask you. I mean, if you've got to face 3 batters, so it's a little different. Do you think Fried? I mean, if you need a couple of outs.
I would not do that. I just want him to pitch game 5.
If there's no game 4 win, there is no game 5. Yeah, I get it. I'm not saying that you throw him out there for 3 innings and, you know, 57 pitches. Can he give you 16, 18? It's a throw day anyway for a bullpen session.
Would you do that if you're the Blue Jays? Would you save it?
No, but he's also a lot younger, and on the road.
Yeah, but if you're talking about, well, let's say the Blue Jays are up late and they need 6 outs to go. You're not going to think about firing that. But I would not, because I want him ready for game 5.
I agree. I wouldn't do it in the Bronx.
So that's my thing. So I'm not going to do that with you, Savage, and I wouldn't do that with Fried. I'm letting those guys go and have them pitch game 5. Gausman, a different story if I'm Toronto. BT and Sal on the Fan, just getting started. Plenty of your calls as we come back here, 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
And a lot of thought was, well, the Red Sox aren't afraid. Well, the Blue Jays aren't afraid. Well, I've seen otherwise, where the Red Sox beat themselves in 2 games in Yankee Stadium. And now the Blue Jays in 1 game in Yankee Stadium also beat themselves. Now, I'm not taking away credit from the Yankee bats. All I'm saying is that a team that is talked about as fundamentally sound and they do things the right way, they're kicking a ball all over the place last night when they had a big lead. If you catch the ball, maybe you win that game, and they didn't do that. And I think that's a huge, to me, part of the Yankee Stadium crowd and feel.
It was juicing, man. There's just no way around it. But see, I look at the Jays' performance last night, and I look at that kind of as a bit of an outlier. Doesn't mean I don't think Schlittler pitches well tonight. Doesn't mean I don't think the Yankees win and get this thing back to Toronto, but that was not the Jays team that got them to this point. Remember the stat I gave yesterday? Now, obviously, we're talking about defense here, clearly, but Toronto had the number 1 batting average with runners in scoring position, and they had it by 15 points higher than the next best team, which is Milwaukee, which is a very buttoned-up team. They had 292 in those situations, and they put the ball in play. They generally catch the ball. So I think that, you know, is it the aura? Is it the moment? I don't know. I don't think teams look at the Yankees with like the way they used to, because the Yankees haven't won in forever. But once the tone is established in the stadium, it does feel and sound different than anywhere else. Maybe they hit them last night, but I think Toronto does bounce back and play a better game.
Clearly,
tonight.
It is the pressure of the moment. Now, you don't feel that pressure if you're at home in Toronto because the fans are behind you and you're expecting to make the play. And if you don't, okay, well, whatever, it happens. But when the crowd of Yankee Stadium is about to explode and get on you with the comeback starting to mount a little bit, and there's a pop-up in the air and you're like, oh, crap, running over to it, and you're feeling the pressure of that, you choke. The Blue Jays are choke artists. Hey, Buck, choke on that. Your team stinks. They are an embarrassment. That's a division-winning team that's kicking a ball. IKF, why are you in the big leagues if you can't make that play? You certainly can't hit. You can't field a routine ground ball. The other guy at third base can't make that play. Santander diving like a fish in right field, couldn't even catch up. Like, what are you diving at? The Blue Jays embarrass themselves, and I really do think I'm crediting the Yankee fans for that. That or BT. You mentioned it. That's not a team that does this all the time, right? Well, then how come it's happened to the Red Sox and the Blue Jays in consecutive games, three straight games now, whereas the Yankees were always looked at as the team that was going to beat themselves? They haven't done that. Are they perfect? No, but they aren't the ones that are doing that. They've been taking advantage three times now of the other teams doing that and succeeding.
That is true. That is true. There's just moments that you get to where it's like, okay, you know, you got to respond. I feel good, but I'm still worried about going up there. That is a different place. The Yankees play differently now. You know, if you get to game five, and again, let's get through game four first, but you can't help but not piece it all together on today.
They can't lose. There's no way they're
losing. I'm not going to say no way. Listen, is Schlittler going to do what he did the other night? No. Does he have to? No.
Right.
I mean, but if it's somewhere in between, I think it's good enough, and I don't think the moment, like last night, it felt a little bit too big for Rodon, and that's worrisome, and I thought he was past that. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for Schlittler, but now you got to hit again. Now you got to catch the baseball. Now the bullpen, which is going to have a lot of influence on this game again and throw a lot of pitches last night, is going to have to get the job done again. I think that they will, but I mean, I'm not nervous.
Yeah, but the Blue Jay bats couldn't even hit the Yankee bullpen.
I understand
that. And it
wasn't
like the best arms in the Yankee bullpen. Blue Jays had a chance. Like, that game was 6-6. It's like, all right, well, are the Yankees going to be able to hold them down with going to all those different arms in the bullpen? The answer is yes. The Blue Jays didn't hit either. So, yes, Schlittler may not be as dominant as he was, and I wouldn't expect that to be the case. I mean, it's hard to repeat what he did, but I bet he's going to be closer to what he was than what Rodon was last night or what Fried was
in game two. Yeah, I agree with that.
And if that's the case, I believe the Yankees' bats are going to maul Toronto pitching again, just like they did last night. I don't see how Toronto's getting any outs in Yankee Stadium. They can barely do it. Seriously, they can barely do it last night.
Jump on them early for change. Can we do this? I mean, these comebacks that are exhausting and riveting all at once. But, you know, how about tonight you jump out to a 4-0 lead? You play downhill.
Yeah.
You do the mashing, and you let Schlittler cruise, give the pen a little break, and now the Jays are in their heads and on their heels for game five.
If the Yankees get out to an early lead, there's no way the Blue Jays come back.
I would agree with that.
If the Blue Jays go up 3-0 in the first, 4-0, the Yankees could still...
I know.
We just saw it.
But I don't want to tempt fate, man. I don't want to tempt it.
It's over, dude. Eric is calling from Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT, what's happening, boys?
How are you, Eric?
Hey, buddy.
Oh, man. I mean, I am fantastic this morning. Watch that game last night. It was amazing. They are exhausting. There's no doubt. It is taking years off of my life, very likely. But you know what? So be it. I mean, not that we necessarily needed an example, but last night was an example that not only does Aaron Judge carry this team, he is the heartbeat of this team, right? The Yankees go where he goes, and that's not to say that he has to carry them, but it's just such a different vibe. Everything with that team changes when Aaron Judge shows up, which is, again, he was showing up before the home run last night, right? I mean, he was still batting near 500.
Yeah.
Granted, singles and a double, but nonetheless, he was still showing up. But to see him get that monkey off his back last night was incredible. Not that it just tied the game, but just for all of the reasons that you guys were just talking about. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, there's no question. But don't you think that Judge is the heartbeat of the Yankees? There's no doubt, but... I mean, Raleigh's the heartbeat of Seattle. Now, I'm not saying to that extent because this is his first massive, massive season. But think about the connection and correlation to when the Mets do well versus when they don't. When Lindor's playing well, Mets win. When he's not, they generally don't. So he's generally been the heartbeat for the Mets. What I'm saying is I think every team, when their best, even though Soto's their best player now, but when the best player delivers, of course that team's going to look better.
Yeah, I don't, like, well, when Judge shows up, he always shows up. That's the thing. Like, the issues have been, to me, the biggest issue for Aaron Judge has been, and even the announcers don't know what they're talking about last night, like, yo, Judge finally has his October moment. Were you not around last October? In the ALCS, with as big a home run as you could have against one of the best bullpen. All we heard about was the Guardians' lights-out bullpen, and then we saw Soto and Judge destroy that impossible-to-beat Guardians' bullpen. So Judge has had postseason moments before. I think because of the way the World Series went, where he dropped the ball, people got on him a little bit. Mm-hmm. But really, the bigger issue is that he set such a high standard in the regular season, it's almost, same with Bonds, almost impossible to live up to in a short series in the postseason. So you expect to have what happened last night happen every time. And it's just not realistic. And this postseason hasn't been, well, he's been awful and then finally broke through and had his big moment. No, it's been base hit to the tune of 450, whatever it's been, which to me is a win for the opposition. He's got to do more than that. Last night it was a big double and then the home run. So it's not just one moment. Judge has put together now a tremendous postseason. He's got to keep it going. But I just think living up to his lofty, almost impossible regular season, that's where the issue comes in October.
See, to me, the biggest issue, the way he's judged, which is harshly and unfairly on many levels, is that when Aaron Judge doesn't, you know, look like Aaron Judge, the Yankees really don't have much of a chance to do anything. Because his teammates, really since he got here, have been far inferior to previous Yankee greats. I mean, listen, Reggie didn't hit three home runs every night. But right. When he didn't, guess who picked him up? Thurman. If Thurman had a rough night, guess who picked him up? Nettles. Or Willie. Or you know the names. And so on and so forth. Say, you think Derek Jeter hit 390 every playoff series he played? And the answer is no. He had a couple where he was south of 200. But guess what? When he didn't do it, Bernie hits a three-run bomb. Or Tino. Or Paulie. And, you know, I'm not saying that there's been nobody that's picked up the mail of Stanton a year ago for sure. But his teammates have been so inferior to the other legends of the franchise, same with Mick and DiMaggio and everybody, that when he's not Judge, it's amplified, it's made worse, and really, it's unfair.
Rob is calling from Westchester. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up, boys? Guys, I got 2 points for you. One, I cannot take this from Yankee fans anymore. I have plenty of group texts, and I'm sick of seeing and hearing this. The emotional hedging saying, oh, the Blue Jays are just, they're too good. They're too good. Guys, one of the two-run homers hit this series was by a guy who hadn't hit a home run in 2 months. How do I say this?
Because he was
friendly on the radio.
Go ahead.
The sucking off of this team on the, can you guys hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
It's pretty clear what you mean.
Yeah, we got
the
you.
The blind sucking of this team is just got to stop.
Of Toronto? Okay?
Yes. It's got to stop. We don't do this when we play the Phillies and the Braves, and they kick our ass in the playoffs.
Well,
that's got to stop.
Rob, you got to leave the Mets out of this because the Mets are out of this. They're in Cancun right now, so it's more about the Yankees. You thought Toronto was a good team all year. I mean, look, they won 94 games, whatever it was, they won the division. I've never believed in them for this exact reason. What you saw last night was exactly why I will never believe in the Blue Jays. I don't think they have the you-know-what to put the Yankees away, especially in Yankee Stadium. But obviously, this would have to go to Game 5. If it gets to a Game 5, and I fully expect it will, I think the Blue Jays are going to you-know-what themselves again, even at home, because this is what they do. They've had good teams in the past, and they get to the postseason. And outside of 1992 and 1993, they choke. That's what the Blue Jays do. They're not any good. I shouldn't say that. They're not any good in comparison to the mighty Yankees.
Okay, so real quick on this here. Let me explain what's happened here. Now, I can't jump into everybody's text messages and WhatsApp chains and all the threads that you guys have going back and forth like I do during these games. So I don't know exactly what the tone is, but I hear it from a lot of, you know, Yankee fans who are good. And Yankee fans have lost their swag. That's what's happened. We don't need to overthink this, because if the Yankees as a franchise, the aura has been diminished and the Yankees have lost their swag, which they have because they haven't won in forever. Well, the byproduct of that is the Yankee fan being less confident because they don't win as much. So when you're winning every year, 96, 98, 99, 2, hey, we're going to win with the Yankees. Let's go. Come on, we'll sweep this team. Let's go. Bring them on. We're good. But when you don't win, you evaluate things differently. Now, I happen to be, I'm not saying this is good or bad, I'm a little bit more of a measured Yankee fan than most. I just am. Maybe I've got, I don't know if I was like this when I was younger, but I am now, and I have been for a couple years. I know they're good. I don't think they're great. I know Toronto's good. I know they're beatable. I thought Toronto was good this year. So I don't know that I fall into the category of overstating who Toronto is or, oh, God, the Yankees can't do anything anymore. But the Yankee fan doesn't have the confidence they once did, and they shouldn't, if you really think about it, big picture.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Time now for the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night, and you asked, you demanded it. You got it. Liftoff for number 99.
Here's the pitch. High fly ball, deep left field. Down the left field line. It is off the fair pole. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now. Three-run homer, Aaron Judge. This game is tied at 6-6.
This place has waited for this whole time. This year, last year, year before.
There you go. Bang it off the fair pole. That's how it sounded here on The Fan. Of course, the home of the Yankees, Dave Sims, Susan Waldman, as Judge bangs it off the yellow. And, of course, that was the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night, brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. Now, listen, think about when home runs are hitting clutch moments, right? There's some are no doubters. Some are, is it fair? Is it foul? Is it far enough? Some catch you by surprise. Like the Leyritz home run, you mentioned that before, yeah. Off Walters on the slider. When he foolishly threw him the slider and sped up his bat. I didn't know for sure if that was gone because he was out in front of it, had a lot of hang time. But it's not
Also, it was Jim Leyritz who hit it, not like it's Aaron Judge.
Correct. And, you know, it's not even with big home runs like Judge last night, it doesn't happen too often where almost time is suspended. Like there were, and it felt like 10 seconds, but it's probably in reality two, where and nobody knew what was going to happen. It goes from eerie, deathly, anticipatory silence to bedlam. Just crazy.
Yeah, and it only is that way because you see it hit the pole. And if you didn't see that, it'd be wondering what was going on. Was it fair? Was it foul? But once it hits the foul pole, I don't know why it was referred to as the fair pole. I call it the foul pole.
I did, too. I guess I never heard that. Smoltz's annoying me. He never annoyed me. He's like, well, when it hits the pole, it's the fair pole. When it's not, it's the foul
Smoltz
pole.
Smoltz was talking about this?
I think Smoltz said it, or the other guy.
I missed that. I was probably just in my text at that particular moment. I don't remember what Smoltz was saying. But I heard Dave say it off the fair pole.
Yeah.
Is it the fair pole or foul pole? Like, my whole life I was told it was the foul pole.
Mm-hmm.
Never once did anybody ever say fair pole when I was growing up in baseball. No matter what. Like
I'm with you. Foul pole.
Little League. Foul pole. 100% foul pole. Down there.
Yeah. Off the foul pole. Even if it hit the foul pole, it's a home run.
Are they the foul lines that people paint, or are they the fair lines?
They're the foul lines.
They're the foul lines.
Yeah, so why not the extension as you go vertically?
It is.
I know.
It is a foul. So I'm not sure where.
All right, we got to get the memo to Dave Sims.
I don't think it's just Dave. I do think other people have said fair pole. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with that term. PT and Sal on The Fan. Rich is calling from Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
Awesome win last night. Man, there's some stats that everyone has been sleeping on.
Go ahead. Yeah,
Aaron Judge has now hit 6 home runs that are game-tying or pull-ahead home runs in playoffs to say that he hasn't done anything big. There's only one other person who's done that in Major League history, and he's retired already. It's Big Poppy. The second one is that now in clutch game-tying situations or go-ahead games, there's only three other Yankees or two other Yankees that has hit more than him. And that is, number one is Bernie Williams, and number two or the big one,
yep.
Derek Jeter with 12 home runs.
And think
right
about
now.
And think so, about Rich, think about that. No, we appreciate the stats. You're right. It just goes to show you just, you know, how he's been probably misserved in the court of public opinion, but Bernie had a lot more at-bats, and so did Derek at this point. They played a lot longer. They were always in it. They always went deep, and that's not to diminish them being clutch and being great, but it's a smaller sample for Judge. He's still right there with him.
But there is a difference in the inability to perform in clutch moments, which I've never felt that was the case with Aaron Judge, versus his performance in the postseason has been substandard. Like, that's a fact. I don't think that's people overreacting. Aaron Judge, to date, has not been what he's been in the regular season, in the postseason. This is the first postseason that we're starting to see that. Too many singles for my liking in the first round, but you'd rather have a base hit than not. I'm just saying that if Judge were to hit a single every single time up the rest of the way, every opposing manager would sign up for that. That's why they probably, like, Schneider's not going to pitch to him tonight. He's now going to learn from his mistake and trust what he should have known better to not pitch to Aaron Judge and walk him. So you'd give up a single and you will walk Aaron Judge. But Judge, the big double last night, obviously the home run, he's had big moments before. He's just never had a sustained postseason to the level of the way he's performed in the regular season. That's a fact.
I agree. Well, you said something before, I think it was in the first segment, where, you know, that pop-up in the World Series really reshaped it. I mean, that's just an egregious, it's a horrendous play. He knows it. It was like that visual was painful.
But it's just such a...
I'm not saying it's
mistake.
Fair. I'm not saying it's fair.
No, I'm just
it's
saying
unfair.
That singular mistake... Like, that's, it's not like he had, like, I would be more pissed at Jazz, who's yawning and not paying attention last night, than I am for a guy who was trying to be aggressive and taking his eye off the ball for a split second. Now, you can't drop it. It's a bad error, but it wasn't a mental thing. It wasn't because he can't do it. Like, that's a play he makes a million out of a million in one time.
Not even a pure center fielder. Saying he was playing out of position because the Yankees roster, as we know, was jacked up and constructed wrong. So... I agree, but so it was such a, even though I'm with you on the optics of Jazz and Nobby years ago blowing the bubble, it was such an easy play for a major leaguer that, like, you couldn't help, you knew he was going to get harpooned, and rightfully so. And then you look at the at-bat over the weekend, bases juiced, and then his counterpart, Vladdy, you know, bangs one to the top tank. So those things add up, but I feel like there's been those two or three isolated moments that have kind of defined him, and it's unfair. But it's up to him, and last night was another big step, even with the singles and the other hits early before that. It's not up to us to dispel that. It's up to number 99.
But think about this. If he had that moment last year in the ALCS against the lights-out closer with the Guardians,
yeah,
he has that moment. He comes through. It wasn't enough. Like, everybody just dismisses that as if it never even happened. It's like, whoa, he's not clutch in the postseason.
Yeah.
Well, the drop fly ball in center field, when the Yankees were going to lose that series anyway, and there were a litany of errors, not just that one.
Garrett Cole didn't cover first base.
That's not
Rizzo
the reason,
was asleep.
That's not the reason they lost that series to the Dodgers. Dodgers were flat out better. But why is that accentuated? And just we gloss over the fact that Judge hit an enormous home run on the road in the championship series against one of the best closers in the sport. It's just glossed over because you expect him to do that every time.
Is it because Soto was better?
I don't think so. I personally
World
don't
Series
think that.
Home run Soto in Dodger Stadium. You know that they also hit massive one against the Guardians.
No.
Remember when he fouled it? You know, basically over the dugout. Yeah. That at bat. But I don't even know if that's the answer. But when you're on, now Soto was better than Judge in the postseason a year ago. But when you're on the same field and you bat 2-3. It's a different level of analysis.
I think it's more the postseason history for either player. Soto had the pedigree winning the World Series in 2019, and Judge has not lived up to his lofty standards set in the regular season. All right, more of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.